Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. It doesn't look like our next guest is going to be here. So this is going to be open lines, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, we were going to be talking really about the about sexual slavery as it exists today. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry throughout the world, and people find it very difficult to believe that there really is slavery today in the world, but there really is. And many times this involves people of great wealth and positions of great political power. It's that if you've never read the book, Satanic Crimes, goes into the Bilderberger Group. The Bilderbergers, one of the most powerful groups in the world, goes right into centers of power in Washington, D.C., and the banking industry and the governments of the world. And the book Satanic Crimes, written by our good friend William H. Kennedy, and the four tapes that we have that goes along with that takes you into the background of pedophilia and sexual slavery, not imaginary. Very, very real. Well, then we were going to be talking to a gentleman named Mr. Bonner, who, of course, is a lawyer who's been dealing with this sort of issue for some time and written a fascinating novel about this called The Bracelet, which I've read, but for some reason or other, we're not going to be able to reach him. So it's going to be open lines, and I'd like to know what you would like to talk about tonight, because I have nothing really prepared. We can talk about finances. We could talk about globalism. I wonder how many of you really understand what globalism really is. Well, I tell the phone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd love to have you call in because we have nothing prepared. But right now, let me go into the background of what is globalism. Now, if you read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, he, of course, talks a lot about his background, how he, of course, he was socialized with David Rockefeller, how he'd socialized with Henry Kissinger, how he'd socialized with the elitists who run our country. He talked about, of course, how he ran the economy, how he already, of course, would get up and give all this testimony before Congress, and nobody could figure out what he was saying because you weren't supposed to be able to understand it. He once said, Alan Greenspan once said, if you think that you understand what I'm saying, you obviously are mistaken. One of the terms he used in both his book and in his frequent testimony before both the House and the Senate was the term creative destruction. And Sidney, he actually was asked one day, it was in July of the year 2005, when testifying before the Senate Banking Committee, what is creative destruction? Well, you know, I've just seen him use that term over and over again in his book. And creative destruction is sort of like a paradox. It's like an oxymoron. How can you create and destroy at the same time? And I always really wondered what it was all about until somebody sent me a link to a YouTube. And you can find it down the Internet. Go to your search engine and type in Alan Greenspan, YouTube, creative destruction. And Alan Greenspan, in response to the question, what is creative destruction, said this. Well, basically, as you know, we are certainly committed to globalism because globalism has really benefited our country a great deal. But associated with globalism is a process called creative destruction. Because, of course, we are going to have to destroy jobs as we begin, of course, to create new jobs. And certainly we have here in our country a constant turnover of jobs. Certainly there are a million people hired and fired in this country every single week. It's a constant churning turnover. But going along with the creation of new jobs has to be the destruction of old jobs. And so we have to be concerned, and as we move into globalism, about the people who are losing their jobs. They're only a minority of the people, but they are losing their jobs, and certainly we have to be concerned about them. And if you give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, as we talk about globalism, until you give us a call right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney of Alan Greenspan. A talks about globalism, and most people really don't understand what globalism is. And so if you go to Wikipedia, Wikipedia defines globalism as the reduction or removal of tariffs to facilitate the flow of goods, of capital, of services, and labor. Let me define that again for you. Globalism is the restriction or removal of tariffs to facilitate the flow of goods, capital, services, and labor. In other words, you're going to take the tariffs off in a community, and when you take the tariffs off, why are you going to actually then encourage the flow of goods? And, of course, it's going to encourage world trade. And elsewhere, you'll see definitions of globalism as talking about how suddenly globalism is going to increase world trade, it's going to increase world production, it's going to raise living standards all over the world. But that's only half of the story. What nobody will ever tell you is what the globalism is really all about. And certainly you'll find that if you read the Earth Charter. Because, you see, if we were to tell the American people what globalism really involves, why, they would be furious. They would not understand this is a program designed to impoverish the American people and lower our living standards. But you can actually verify what I'm saying by reading the Earth Charter. Now, what is the Earth Charter? Well, of course, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and certainly Glenn Beck and Lou Dobbs and Adriana Huffington, they're not going to tell you what the Earth Charter is really about. But the Earth Charter is the plan for the world. It is the new Ten Commandments for the world, because the people who wrote this hate the old Ten Commandments, and they certainly hate the God of the Bible. Who wrote the Earth Charter? Some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world. One of them is Mikhail Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia. And when, of course, he puts on his world summit, the world summit meetings that he puts on, State of the World Forums is what they call them. All the most powerful people in the world attend Mikhail Gorbachev's State of the World Forum. Why? Because Mikhail Gorbachev is deeply involved in the occult. His wife is deeply involved in the occult. And most of the people of great wealth throughout the world all interlock in what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. And when you find that the leader of Russia and the leaders of the free world are involved in the occult, you know we're in real trouble. Well, Dr. Stan, we were just talking about globalism, and you can't understand creative destruction. You can't understand what's going on today. You can't understand why we have 25 million Americans who are either unemployed, underemployed, or suddenly have given up looking for work. You can't understand any of these things unless you understand globalism. Well, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is open line, so you can talk about whatever you want to, but so there won't be just dead air. I'm going to tell you about globalism. And the definition of globalism, according to Wikipedia, is the reduction or the removal of tariffs to facilitate the flow of goods, of capital, of services and labor. And what basically it's talking about, is to transfer the wealth of the United States to other nations. Now, this is certainly laid out in the Earth Charter. I was talking about that. It is one of the most important documents you'll ever read because it was written by Mikhail Gorbachev, who is deeply involved in the occult, fabulously wealthy, and when he puts on his State of the World Forum meetings, everybody who is anybody in the world power elite in the Brotherhood of Darkness attends there. The presidents of the United States, the financial leaders of the world, the spiritual leaders of the world, they're all there, and when Gorbachev puts out his invitation, they all put up a tremendous amount of money, and they attend. Another person, of course, is Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, very closely affiliated with the Rockefeller family. And the third author of the Earth Charter is a man named Stephen Rockefeller. His father was Nelson Rockefeller. His uncle is David Rockefeller, who is, well, according to the book Memoirs, written by David Rockefeller, he said that many people consider him the conspirator-in-chief, the head of this whole cabal that rules the world. And, well, I believe those people are absolutely right. I believe that David Rockefeller is not the ultimate conspirator-in-chief, but he certainly works for him and, of course, is leading this whole movement to globalism. Well, basically, of course, the whole idea of globalism, if you read point 10A of the Earth Charter, is the equitable distribution of wealth within nations and among nations. The equitable distribution of wealth within nations and among nations. Now, equitable distribution of wealth within nations is communism. You simply wipe out the middle class. You have everybody living in poverty, except, of course, for the very elite, the wealthy. That would be the David Rockefellers, the Mikhail Gorbachevs, and the Marie Strongs of the world. And then, of course, equitable distribution of wealth among nations. That's what globalism's about, the transfer of America's wealth to other nations. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And if you want to know why we have 25 million Americans either unemployed, underemployed, or suddenly given up looking for work in the United States. That's a reflection of the U6 levels of unemployment in America. It is simply because of globalism. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And let's go to Joe calling from New Jersey. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, you know, it just came to me a thought. I've been thinking about, like you said, where is this money going to come from to bail out these nations? Well, they got the printing press, don't they?
Absolutely, and that's what they're going to do. And when they turn the printing press on, of course, it will simply destroy the value of our currency and destroy its value. And that is the best way I know to impoverish the people and to make everybody equal. Everybody
right.
Equally poor.
Right. Okay. So now here's my thought. Here's my take on this. You know, we're going to bail out Greece. No, we're not going to bail them out. We're going to buy them out. What I think is happening is they set this whole situation up so that these countries would be in this kind of shape, and in the process, and even the states. So we come in, we go in and what's called bailout, but really it's a buyout. So we now own them. What do you think?
Well, I think that this is all clearly and diabolically laid out. Certainly the reason Greece was able to get into the European Union was because they falsified their books with the help of Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs, if you study what's going on, is one of the major, certainly the major forces behind everything going on today. I mean, they are really a very sinister organization. They control the Obama administration. Certainly they got Greece into this. They showed them how to actually shift their books, rewrite their books, lie to get into the European Union. But now the day, of course, of reckoning is coming, and Goldman Sachs will sit back and rub their hands as Greece, of course, goes into chaos. Right now, there are riots in Greece. People are rioting because they're demanding their rights, their pensions, the health benefits they've been promised. But the trouble is Greece doesn't have any money, and there's no way it's going to be able to get that money. And they're going to borrow $60 billion, but that's not going to last long. And then, of course, what happens next time around? Right now, they're having to pay 8.7% interest on their to borrow money as of about 2 days ago. And, of course, the International Monetary Fund may lend them the money, but they're just going to say to Greece, you're going to have to give up your sovereignty. We will now direct things. There will be no health care benefits. There will be no pensions for the people who think they're going to come, and then there'll be more riots, and then the police will be out there, and then the military will be out there, and then, of course, they'll start shooting people, and they will have an authoritarian society. And I think that's exactly what they want in Greece. I think that's exactly what they want in Portugal. I think that's exactly what they want in California and all the other states here that are going to go into chaos very soon. Anything else you wanted to ask, Joe?
Last time I spoke with you, I said I'm going to do a little study on this prophecy concept with this what's being mentioned in the book of Daniel and so on and so forth. But I don't think that's I'm able to share that with this format program.
Okay,
tonight.
Well, then let's do that some other time. Okay, Joe?
Yes, okay.
God bless, and let's go to Vito's calling us from Amsterdam. I assume that's Amsterdam, New York, rather than Holland. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We've got Vito from Amsterdam. Hi, how are you doing, Vito?
Hi. I got a question. I don't know. It's a little philosophy. If we're going broke and some are getting rich, you know what I'm saying? Some are really getting rich on this.
Yeah, absolutely. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we're going to have an awful lot of poor people, and we're going to have a very small number of very wealthy people here in the United States, just like they have in Mexico today. They've got more billionaires in Mexico than they have in all of Central and South America put together outside of Mexico. And that's just the way we're going to be heading right here in the United States.
Supposed to be a lot of fancy lawyers out there then, huh?
Right. Well, some of the lawyers are even probably going to go broke, but some of them will get richer. I mean, it depends on how unscrupulous they are. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But, Vito, you are actually witnessing the end of America as we've known it. America will never go back the way it was. Globalism is enforced. There's no turning back from it. Essentially, we've destroyed the value of our currency. We've transferred increasing power to the central authority in Washington, D.C. And unless the whole thing collapses and the American people insist on returning to our constitutional system and limiting the power of the federal government, if they do not do that, we're going into a dictatorship and the freedom that we've known in the past will simply become a remembrance of things past.
Thank you.
Anything else, Vito?
I pray we can get back the power to the people.
Well, I think that what we have to do is not have power to the people. We have to take the power away from the ruling elite, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and let. We don't want power. We want free people. We want to limit the power of the government, of any content level of government. We want people to be free. We want to unleash this wonderful incentive that we have in the American people, the ability to produce, the ability to help, to be charitable, to be concerned. We've got an awful lot of good people here, but we're going to have to get back to transfer control back to the local communities and then get people involved in taking back our country. Okay?
Yep.
Anything else, Vito?
Behind you 100%.
Okay. God bless, and I appreciate it. I hope you get those people up there in Amsterdam listening. Tell people about our program. Encourage them to listen. We'll tell them the things that they're not going to hear elsewhere. People are not telling the American people that the plan's already in place to take us into a war with Iran. In fact, I was just rereading an email I got about a week ago from a friend of mine over in Dubai who just said, you know, that everything's in place for the war. It's just a matter of not if, but when we go to war with Iran. And the average. Go ahead.
Hope he saw my bear cave for a while.
Right. Well, our job is to try to get the American people to understand this is all orchestrated. It's all scripted. And if you read my newsletters, I think the last couple of them are excellent. They're basically based upon an interview I did with Avi Lipkin. And although I don't agree with everything he said, he had a lot of great information, especially a lot of great information about a man named Barack Obama. Because Avi Lipkin's wife works for Israeli intelligence, she monitors all of the radio transmissions and programs out of Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the Arab world. Because she was actually born in Egypt, so she speaks Arabic, and she will tell you that everybody over there believes Barack Obama is a Sunni Muslim, and that's why he bowed before the King of Saudi Arabia. After all, he is the keeper of the sacred sites. But they want, the king of Saudi Arabia, the Egyptians, the other Sunni Muslims, want the United States to go to war with Iran and destroy Iran. They fear the Shia Muslims, and, well, it's fascinating to read what he had to say. You'll have to make up your own mind. We'll be right back. Give us a call out there.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Sydney, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. It's really very important. I just wanted Sydney, again, off the subject of globalization just for a moment or two, this whole process of creative destruction, to mention the importance of the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement is a spontaneous movement all across America to try to take our country back. Now, believe me, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the evil forces have infiltrated the Tea Party movement, and they're trying to get Sarah Palin into key position. They've given her $12 million. They bought her support. She's saying all the things we believe. But and she may well believe them, but she's totally under their control. When you take $10-12 million, in 9 months from these people, why, you've sold your soul, and she will do their bidding. She's endorsed, of all people, John McCain for the president, for the his Senate seat against his conservative opponent. Why would she do that? Because she's willing to compromise her principles for acceptance by the elite. And unfortunately, although she's a very nice person, she certainly is playing in a league she doesn't really understand. So the Tea Party movement has been infiltrated, and there's every effort, of course, to utilize this to not to save America, but to put in power somebody that they want in power. And they're going to do with Sarah Palin, just like they did with Ronald Reagan, who actually invited the members of the Trilateral Commission to come to the White House to have dinner with him. He knew very well who these people were, but, of course, they controlled him. And, of course, we have certain ideas about Ronald Reagan. Nobody ever mentions, certainly he gave us the biggest tax cuts in history, and then he gave us the largest tax increases in history. Nobody will ever mention that. He always said what we believe, but look and see what he did. In 1986, he passed the Tax Simplification Act, which, of course, dramatically increased the cost of both Social Security and Medicare. It was the largest single tax increase for the average American ever recorded in the history of our nation. Nobody ever talks about that. Ronald Reagan talked about a balanced budget. He was critical of Jimmy Carter because Jimmy Carter spent $200 billion. He increased the national debt $200 billion during the 4 years he was in the White House. And I'll never forget Ronald Reagan talking during the campaign in 1980, how terrible that was, how Jimmy Carter was a terrible spendthrift. He was just spending money like a drunken sailor. How much $1 trillion was it? Basically, it had taken us from 1789 up until till the year 1980, when Jimmy Carter was running for the presidency for the second term, to accumulate $1 trillion in national debt. And Ronald Reagan was pointing out how terrible that was, and he was right. But Ronald Reagan increased the federal deficit $200 billion every year he was in the White House. When he went into the White House, the national debt was $1 trillion. When he left, it was $2.7 trillion. He increased the national debt $1.7 trillion in his 8 years in the White House. He should have been ashamed of himself. But nobody ever talks about that. Ronald Reagan said, "Everything I believe." But look and see what happened during that time. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. I was just talking about the Tea Party movement. We need to get good people into the Tea Party movement. You should be going to those meetings, but you need to go there not to listen and hear what they're going to say, because they're going to bring in Sarah Palin or somebody else that they're paying a great deal of money to give you a talk to tell you what they want you to hear. You've got to put on your own Tea Party movements and your own Tea Party speakers, and you've got to tell people this. First of all, that we are not a democracy, we are a republic. Number two, that the media is controlled and you're not getting the truth through either any of the media outlets or through the educational system. Three, that there is a small group, very powerful group that runs our government, and they are intent upon destroying our economy, and they're intent upon taking us into a war with Iran. And finally, of course, that if people want the truth, they should listen to our programs at RadioLiberty.com. That's www.RadioLiberty.com if they've got a computer. If they don't, they can actually listen to our programs on the telephone by simply calling 760-LOW, that's low, so, S-O-1-1. That's 760-LOW-SO-1-1. 1-760-LOW, that's L-O-W, so, S-O-1-1. They can listen to our programs there on the radio 24 hours a day, so they can get a very inexpensive satellite from Rick's Satellite. You can get to our website and learn how to do that, and we'll give you the information. And listen there. You can listen 9 hours a day to our programs. You can hear us on shortwave. And we have programs all across America, but quite frankly, we need your help to maintain this network of 60 outlets. We need a lot more outlets, because where people hear the truth, they begin to recognize the truth. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we would love to hear from you if you have a question or comment, either that, and let's see who we have on the line here. And we have Charles. Oh, we've got Charles Bonner. Hi, Mr. Bonner. How are you?
How are you doing, Dr. Montes?
I'm doing just fine. Well, I enjoyed reading your book, The Bracelet. And, Cindy, you actually, because the book is a novel, but in many respects, this is somewhat autobiographical, that there really is this sex trade throughout the world, and you've been on the front lines of trying to expose it, haven't you?
That's right. In fact, Doctor, first of all, thank you, and I'm very grateful and honored to be on your show. And I'm also honored that you are bringing to your audience this most important human rights issue of the day, and that is the issue of child sex slavery. Right now, I'm in Thailand, the epicenter of this child sex slavery problem, and I just visited Malaysia and Singapore. I'm researching a second book which has to do with the solution to end child sex slavery in the world. You know that UNICEF has reported that 150 million children per year are sold as sex slaves. And so as time goes by with this kind of slavery unabated, the number of children sex slaved will exceed the number of African slaves transported from Africa to America during the Milk Passage, the period from 1619 to 1865, a 246-year period.
Now, let me just put for our listeners out there, Mr. Bonner is an attorney. He's dedicated to getting this information out. He's talking about 1.5 million sex slaves every single year. But you go right ahead.
Yeah, so today I would like to talk to the audience about the solution to end child sex slavery in the world. And my book, The Bracelet, which is found at thebraceletnovel.com, also you can find it on amazon.com, it is a global guide to protect our children from child sex predators. Yes, I am a civil rights attorney now for more than 30 years, and I currently represent a young lady who at age 16 was chained in a dungeon in Syracuse, New York for over 7 months as a sex slave and survived.
And there was this fellow who was fabulously wealthy who was really, of course, was the fellow who was keeping her there, isn't that right?
Yes, he's a multimillionaire. And it turned out that he had been kidnapping young girls, 13, 14, 16 years old, for almost 20 years. And no one had stopped him until my 16-year-old client managed to escape and bring it to light.
Well, that is what brought my attention to this problem, even though I had represented children who have been victims of child molestation. I had never understood or appreciated that this was a $10 billion per year industry and is going on everywhere all around us.
And these children are taken all over the world and being sold, and people have no idea what's really going on, and you're not going to hear this through regular channels. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but please hold your calls. We want Mr. Bonner to get the information out. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Mr. Bonner, go right ahead with that. Of course, you're on the front lines of this battle. It is such an incredible story, and we never see this talked about on regular television. Oh, it makes people feel uncomfortable. We don't talk about this on most talk radio programs. That's why I'm so pleased that you were with us tonight. And I don't know how we got you over there in Thailand, but I'm so glad we did. Anyway, you go right ahead.
Thank you very much. With Dr. Monteith, it raises the question, are we in society failing to prepare our children on how to deal with these kinds of sex crime perpetrated by adults? And the answer is yes, we are. We hear about there being a war on crime, a war on drugs, a war on terrorism, a war on everything. But have you ever heard of a war on child sex slavery? Not until now, not until my book, The Bracelet, which is the story of five girls that this multimillionaire in New York City, Syracuse, New York, chained in his dungeon, is their stories fictionalized. So it's what is called true fiction. It's a fictionalized story, and these girls, led by my client character Macy, takes us around the world, and they shine a big round spotlight on this problem, identifying who these people are, where they're located, and how much money is being transacted, the number of women that are being sold, women and children being sold into sex slavery every day. And also, they point us to the solution that we as a society, as a nation, as a planet must deal with. So my book, The Bracelet, will teach parents how to protect their children from being kidnapped, how to teach the children to outsmart the sexual predators, to survive if they are kidnapped. And also, it will teach parents how predators think before an abduction and after an abduction. And most importantly, it will teach children how to avoid being a victim of sex slavery. So this is a huge problem. As I mentioned, it's part of a $10 billion per year industry. And people involved in all professions, insurance executives, bankers, doctors, preachers, musicians, they're all involved in this kind of despicable conduct.
I'm going to ask you to hold that right there. We're going to be back in just a moment as we bring all of our other stations back on board here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Charles Bonner. His book, The Bracelet. And before we go on, would you like to tell people how they can get your book, The Bracelet?
Yes, Dr. Stan, they can go to thebraceletnovel.com, or they can go to amazon.com and order it, and they should receive it within just a few days after ordering it. And we would appreciate that if they were to buy it, because this is not just about child sex slavery per se, but it's also about a disrespect of women and children and how we need to reunite with our humanity with respect to protecting women and children in the globe. So it's a much broader issue in the book than just the child sex slavery.
Well, now, what happened to this millionaire that actually had imprisoned this girl in the dungeon in his home? What actually happened to him?
Well, he's in jail right now, and he will be in jail for the rest of his life, as well as he should. One of the solutions to this problem is that we must have a zero tolerance regarding harming children and sexually abusing them. The Nobel Peace Prize winner, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, recently visited UNICEF, the United Nations Children Education Fund, and he was asked, how do we protect children? What are the important things leaders of the world must do to change the situation of children? And this is what he said. He said, they must provide the resources for all children to be inoculated. Two, they must provide resources for children, especially girls, to get in school. And thirdly, they must make it impossible for awful adults to turn children into slaves. And this again, is the zero tolerance that he's talking about. It make it impossible. We have to take the profit margin out of transferring children around the world, selling children. Right now, we're in Koh Samui, Thailand, and the owner of the hotel here just told me that there are many young girls, 12, 13, 14 years old, that are selling themselves to gray-haired men from America and Europe every minute of every day here in Koh Samui, Thailand. And we see it. We see these gray-haired men walking around with a little child in tow, getting in taxis. The taxis do nothing. Going into hotels, the hotel clerks look the other way. But most devastatingly, the police do nothing. We were in Pattaya, also at the heart, the epicenter of this problem. In fact, all of Thailand is the epicenter of child sex slavery. And we went up to some uniformed police officers, and we asked them, listen, just 10 yards away, there are children selling themselves. There's child pornography. Why aren't you all doing something about it? He said, well, we are part of a volunteer police force made up of people from all over the world, and we're in 50 countries, and this is their country. It's illegal here, and if they see this, they will stop it. The reality is that many of the police officers here own brothels selling children, 12, 13-year-olds, even as young as 7 years old, and they take bribes, and nothing is being done about it. That's why we in society must take action. We must stop it. And basically, to stop it, we have to look at the legal protection of women. We have to look at a global cultural change regarding the value of women and children. And we also have to work on eliminating poverty because, again, you have many parents, mothers, pimping their little 12, 13-year-olds, as young as 6-year-old girls, just for a few bucks to buy rice, to buy bread.
But, of course, this is where it's being done voluntarily. As far as the sex slavery is concerned, I mean, I've heard stories, and I really don't know whether they're true or not, but they actually will sell children, certainly almost on the block, you know, having them parade around on the stage, both here and in Japan and other countries throughout the world. Is there any truth to that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. It's happening as we speak right now. It's happening in Cambodia. Your audience need only go to YouTube and Google a child sex slavery Thailand, a child sex slavery Cambodia, a child sex slavery Ukraine, a child sex slavery San Francisco, New York, Houston, frankly, any city on the planet, but particularly in Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia, and you will see videos of little kids, 6-7-year-old girls, being offered by their family members as sex partners to grown men. This is all coming to surface now, and that's why it's so important for you to have this program on your show so that people can become aware that, one, we need to change laws, we need to be able to prosecute these people, our American citizens, when they abuse children here in, say, in Thailand or abroad, they need to be prosecuted at home. We need to have a one-strike law. You harm a child, you go to jail for life, you're released only with an ankle bracelet, and you must be removed from any contact with children. Likewise, we need to remove any statute of limitation, much like murder. There's no statute of limitation for murder. There should be no statute of limitation for harming a child. And then on an international level, we need to make it a crime against humanity. If you enslave a child or harm or sell a child, then you need to be dealt with as a war criminal and prosecuted in an international court like we prosecuted the Nazis at Nuremberg, unlike the prosecution going on right now against these criminals in Rwanda, their trials going on in Arusha, Tanzania. And when countries, like many of the countries here in Southeast Asia, aid and abet in this despicable crime, then we need to, at the UN level, at the international level, impose sanctions. Like we now impose a sanction against Iran, we need to have sanctions against countries that assist and enable this despicable crime to continue.
But I mean, it goes on in our own country, and we aren't even taking care of what's going on in the United States. This is the tragedy.
Yes, it's a tragedy. I mean, right there in the United States, the port of entries, we have cities like Houston, San Francisco, New York, JFK Airport, LaGuardia, I-95. These are main arteries of child sex slavery. You know, this man was multimillionaire right there in Syracuse, New York, had been doing it for almost 20 years. I practice in San Francisco Bay Area, just 30 minutes from where my two granddaughters live, a stone's throw from their house. This man kidnapped J.C. Durgan and had her chained in his backyard for over 20 years, fathered two children by her, had her essentially shackled back there for 20 years. Recently in Florida, I mean, literally just in March, a man was prosecuted in Florida for enslaving two children. In New Jersey, five men just gang raped a 7-year-old. This is not who we are as a species. And that's why the third aspect of the international law that would apply to America as well is a volunteer police force that's sole responsibility would be to protect women and children and to liberate free children of the world from these sex slaves and dungeons of the world.
Well, now, basically, are you just over in Thailand at the present time on a fact-finding tour, or what is the purpose now?
I'm working on a second book, a nonfiction, called The Solution to End Child Sex Slavery in the World, a global guide to protect our children from child sexual predators. So this is a continuation of my work on this problem. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King teaches us that we all have to decide whether we will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. Life's most persistent and nagging question, he said, is what are we doing for others? African Americans were freed because good people all around America, the abolitionists, insisted that they be freed, and they worked for 300-400 years towards that effort. We have to do the same thing with respect to children, because they can't get out with picket signs and protests. They need us to do that. We must speak for those who have no voice. All species, from a chicken to a giraffe, protect their young at the peril of death, except us, humans. And again, that's not who we are as a species. It's not who we are as a people. It's not who we are in America as a nation. We can do better, and we must do better. We must stop child sex slavery, stop this human sex trafficking, and we must stop it. And I suggest we must stop it by 2012, and we can do that.
Are you acquainted with a book called The Franklin Cover-Up? It goes into the background of a child sex ring somewhere in the Midwest, tied right into the White House itself?
Yes, I'm familiar with that. It happened in Nebraska back in the 1980s under, I believe, during the Reagan administration. I'm familiar with the facts of the book. I don't know whether the facts indeed have been verified as true. It certainly appeared to be true. But whether it's true or not, this is a problem that we know that has existed way before the 80s, and it exists right now as we speak. That book talked about all of these boys being provided to these politicians for sexual favors in Nebraska and all the way up to the White House, it suggests. and it points out the importance of us protecting young children for these civil rights and human rights violations. You know, this issue of child sex slavery, you read about it, but we must take it from just a news item to a cause, and from a cause to a movement, and from a movement to a cultural change, a paradigm shift in our thinking, a revolution in our minds and hearts, the same way we changed our thinking about African-American slaves, the same way we changed our thinking about denying women the right to vote or the right to own property. We made revolutionary changes. I mean, human beings used to think the world was flat, and now we all know it's round, and no human being on the planet thinks the world is flat anymore. This is the kind of cultural change we need to make in order to protect women and children of the world. Again, from 40,000 B.C., every culture on the planet, every country, worshipped women as goddesses until about 10,000 years ago. We shifted in our spirituality, that is, our theology, that all of God's creation is interdependent and interrelated, including women. We shifted our focus to just an all-father God, and all hell broke loose. In every sense, we have now been, we've shifted our attention from compassion and cooperation to competition and power and greed. We've lost respect for women and children. And so we must regain that sense of sanctity and reunite with the holiness of the divine feminine. And when we do that, when we seek to protect women, we necessarily will protect children. So we must elevate our view of women and children in order to really get to the root problem as to why we can stand by and allow a six-year-old, a seven-year-old child to be sexually sold as a sex slave.
Well, of course, some people would say that Christianity, why women, it has actually had much better treatment than anything else. In fact, Sydney Christianity honors womanhood. It's simply that people who are doing these things have defied Christianity, and not only that, but we have what I believe are evil and wicked people in the highest levels of our government, and sometimes even in the courts, who've taken any acknowledgement of God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and the fact that you should not kill other people. We've taken that out of our schools. Our children are raised with no moral foundation at all. And then we wonder why we have moral anarchy.
Exactly. That you said it. This is the moral anarchy that we have to address. It's not the spirituality. We all understand the truth, the truism of our spirituality, but these people who will engage in evil in all of these religions, it's not just one religion. I mean, it's Buddhists and Christians and Muslims and you name the religion, and everyone is involved in it. And so the people who are involved in it, I believe you can't say really are religious, because they are involved in evil. Anyone who would hurt a child is engaging in evil, and can hardly say that they are part of a real Christian or religious theology.
Well, I agree with you totally. I believe there's organized evil in the world. I think this is the one problem we have, is that most people do not want to recognize that. And even more than that, the media covers these stories up. If we were reading them day after day after day after day, why we would focus our attention on them? If we played them up one time and then we forget about it, why this is not something that we are really concerned about. And I think this is, as you point out, a very, very serious problem that most people are totally unaware of, and the fact that there are is sexual slavery, and really frank slavery, because this is frank slavery, call it what you will about the sexual part. It is frank slavery. It exists in the world today. It is accepted in certain of the cultures, but even happens in countries such as the United States. I think that's what's so frightening.
Yes, absolutely. And again, if I may just suggest again, people can go to my webpage, thebracelettenova.com and amazon.com, and buy this book. It's only $9.99, but this book is going to really help bring this awareness to the planet. And we're here making contact with people in Southeast Asia to work towards a global solution. And but it's important that we in America take the laboring oar. Why? Because we have taken the laboring oar when it comes to human rights around the world. People look to us to work on human rights problems. We know how to do it. We have the determination and the emotional and moral conviction to do it. And so we should do it. We can end this problem of child sex slavery if we can just get people involved, get them to, if they would, again, just look for organizations in their communities that are dealing with this issue. Read this book, and it will point to the solution. And we need more people like you, Dr. Stan, who have these radio programs to bring this to the attention of the of their audiences, because this is a growing problem. The world recession going on right now is exacerbating the problem, because it's exacerbating poverty. It's creating situations where people in cultures where the, women are just not valued in the same way as men, such as where I am right now in Thailand. It's creating a situation where they use the women and girls as a mean of surviving, and the women and girls become another crop. They become another commodity, another bag of peanuts to be sold on the market for money.
Well, I think it's a shame that there are certainly probably Americans over there in Thailand who are going there simply to molest little boys or little girls. And what a sick, sick society we've become. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got three more minutes before we can let you go. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, we have 3 minutes just to wrap up the program. So what are the parting thoughts that you'd have for our listeners out across America?
Yeah, the departing thoughts I have for us in America is that this is a call to action. This is a wake-up call for all of us to say to ourselves, is this who I am? Is this the society that I want to be a part of, where we allow 6-7-year-old kids to be sold as sex slaves, or am I going to take some action to change this? The first action they can take, if I may say it again, is to go out and buy this book. Secondly, get involved with their community organizations to bring the awareness of this topic to everyone's attention. Go to the religious institutions, have the preachers, the priests, the rabbis take the leading role in changing this culture of moral depravity about this issue. We are witnessing now child sexual terrorism. That's what it is. This is child sexual terrorism. We would not tolerate terrorists that did what that ran those buildings, those planes into our buildings in New York. We have taken a war against terrorism. We need to take a war against child sexual terrorism in the same way. And that is my call to action to your audience, Dr. Stan.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and I hope you're well. And when will you be back here in the United States? Do you anticipate?
I will be back on May 3rd. And again, I hope to have this second book out before the year's end.
Well, we do actually have a number of other networks we do, so if I know when you're be back, right, we have your telephone number, we'll contact you. We'd like to get you onto our other programs, because I think your message is important, and I think we need to focus people's attention directly on this. So God bless you. Have a safe trip, and we'll look forward to talking to you sometime in May when you get back.
Thank you very much, Doctor, and God bless you as well and your audience, and all of us get on board and end this despicable as soon as we can.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's been Charles Bonner, and certainly he is a civil rights attorney, practices in the San Francisco area. He's actually been involved in trying to dramatize this. He's written an interesting book, which is really based upon himself and this girl who was actually enslaved there in Sydney by this very wealthy white man who'd been doing this for 20 years. With a series of girls, and of course some of them were released. I assume most of them were released, but after many years of imprisonment. It's a terrible, terrible story, but it shows the sinful hearts of men. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I think we have to congratulate our producer for tracking Mr. Bonner down over there in Thailand, and I'm really appreciated, Daniel, for doing that. I'm just glad you got a chance to hear this story, because certainly, having read the book, I will tell you it's a gripping book. It's not necessarily something that for children to read, but this is a very real problem. It's not imaginary, but it's part of this overall conspiracy against God and God's concept of right and wrong. There really are evil and wicked people out there, and certainly the story of the Franklin cover-up. I've talked to John DeCamp, who wrote the book. I've talked to Ted Gunderson, who actually lived there in the same town with John DeCamp. Both of their lives were threatened for daring to bring out the truth, so I really believe that this is true. We're going to be doing another interview with Nick Bryant, who's written a book on the Franklin cover-up, the Franklin Affair, I think is the title. We'll have him with us in a few weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about things that go right up into the various highest levels of our government today. Because there is wickedness and evil in the world, we're involved in a spiritual battle, and until people recognize that, and there are people who hate God and will do everything they can to defile humankind. That is one reason they're going to take us into the war with Iran. But some of these things that have gone on and are going on today, you need to understand. They're not nice to think about, but you need to understand the evil we're up against. If you haven't actually heard our 4-tape set on satanic crimes or read the book by that title, you need to get it. If you haven't certainly got our 4-tape set on the supernatural or the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil. These are either tape sets or a CD sets. You'll just have to check and see if we have them in both. We certainly have books that go into all aspects of the things we're talking about, the supernatural. If you haven't seen the book on the alien intervention, or the alien interviews with a lot of PhDs and very, very well-educated university people who've actually studied the UFO phenomenon and recognize it for the demonic nature that it is. It is not imaginary. It's really very real. But these people, of course, are tapping into the supernatural. And when you understand that, there is a supernatural realm that energizes these wicked and evil people. You can understand why they put through these terrible wars that have killed hundreds of millions of people, and why hundreds of millions more are going to die. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story. Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus that goes with that, because we verify all of the wars America's been in, going back to the Spanish-American War. Every single one of them was contrived, and certainly you've never heard the truth about these wars and about all the people who died totally unnecessarily. Why is it important today? Because they're going to take us into a war with Iran, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to take us into a war with Iran. Read the editorials. Read the articles that are in the newspaper. They're preparing the American people, the books that are being circulated among the Christians to tell us how terrible the Muslims are, who've adopted the whole concept of jihad. But what nobody will tell you is this whole concept of radical Islam, of jihadist Islam, was financed with your tax money. You need, of course, to get the book entitled The Devil's Game. That's The Devil's Game. And certainly it goes into the background of the funding of the Islamic terrorist movement by the CIA and MI6, creating the best enemy money could buy. You need to just get my pamphlets on the background of 9-1-1 as we go into the fact that we were actually funding this whole thing. We were providing the textbooks to convert our young, impressionable students in madras schools to the Muslim world to this radical form of Islam, as they're doing here in America today. You want to get my recent interview with Paul Williams. There are literally hundreds of these madras schools in America teaching young people to hate America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.